Everyone, welcome back to a new episode of the New Adult Playbook. I'm Micaiah, and I'm here with our other co-host, Alyssa.
Hey.
Alyssa, what are we talking about today? We kind of teased it in the last episode, but what are we talking about, girl?
Girl, you already know. We are talking about religion. Just to kind of get it out there before Easter, we're having a little chat about religion, about, I guess, our experience with religion, our journey to get to where we are today. And just, all things about that. Some people, when they become adults or they go to college or whatever, they kind of either, if they already had a religion, they might continue with it. They might find something new. They might, do this or do that. And it's not uncommon for people to have the same questions that we probably had when we were, either before college or during college or whatever, right now, because we're still growing. So yeah, we just wanted to talk about our journey and ask some questions and be introspective as we do. Hashtag
Hashtag pensive. Oh, what was my voice there? Whoa, am I going through puberty? Anyways,
Maybe.
right, but yeah. So I guess I mean the first big question we have is what's your relationship with religion?
This is such a loaded question for me. So I'll keep it simple. The first thing before I start, though, my family is very religious. My mom's side of, not my mom's side, my dad's side of the family is very religious. They're all Christian. And none of them listen to my podcast, to this podcast, our podcast. But as far as I know, my aunt might, but they also don't really know how much I have deconstructed in my 20s. So if any of them are listening to this, then I'm gonna get some phone calls. Yikes,
Yikes.
yeah, big yikes. But anyways, like I said, my dad's side of family, very religious. They all live here in Georgia, so I hung out with them a lot. I grew up in the church. My mom, she didn't grow up Christian, but she became a Christian when she was like 22, so my age, when she had my brother, because she was like, basically, a lot of times people will find religion if they didn't grow up in it, they'll find it when they most need it, as we do with a lot of things. So I think that was kind of her thing. She was like, I really need this. I need something to believe in. And so Christianity was her thing, because her aunt and my aunt, I guess, also my great aunt, is very, she's a Christian as well. Her twin is a minister, which I think is cool, like a female minister. That's awesome. But yeah, so that's my, like, I grew up in the church. I have been going to church since probably birth. I'm sure the first week that I could be out in the open, my mom had me in the church. So yeah, it's just been a part of my life for my whole life. And I didn't actually stop going to church physically until COVID hit. So last year, like a couple weeks ago last year is when I stopped going to church. And now I'm not sure if I'll go back. Maybe if I find something that I really want to be a part of, I might go back. But so far I've just kind of been doing my own thing,
Yeah. I feel like in kind of a sense we had the same, just upbringing. I wouldn't say I was heavily in the church because it was really imposed on one side of my family. My mom's side of the family is religious, but I like to they're very realist about their perspective on religion. So they'll be like having a beer and like praying for you and you're like, "What?" But my dad's side of the family, whenever I would go over there, my granddad is a bishop of a church, my grandma is an evangelist and a first lady, and it just goes down. Like we were always in the church. My dad's a minister, and just everyone is really wrapped up in religion. So when I would go over there, go to visit my dad's house and all this other stuff, like you know, it was just that's all we did. Like a whole weekend, like because I would visit my dad on the weekends, a whole weekend would be dedicated to church. Like Thursday evening, choir practice. Friday, we got some type of prayer or some Friday service. Saturday, we got like a youth conference, youth meeting at the whatever. Sunday, we don't got one service, we got two. But how they're measured up, you're gonna get there at 9, you're not gonna leave until like 4. But then you got like an hour to get lunch because you got to be back.
Right, yeah.
It was an all-day event.
Yeah.
And so, but same with you, like a lot of the things. And oh, not to mention, I straight up went to an entire private school for
Right.
majority of my life.
I was about to say, I was like, didn't you go to a Christian school?
I went to a private Christian school starting at 6th grade, but I was also in a private Christian school for like, from like kindergarten all the way up into what is it, 2nd grade, and then that's when I went to public school. I went to public school for 3 years, and then went right back to private school, private Christian school. And I will say those experiences alone, I think, are the reason I had such a deconstructing faith, or like started to pick it apart, because one, there were two different denominations. Two, I was just having a massive identity crisis. I feel like I still am, but it's not that drastic. This identity crisis is like, do I want to dress in all whites, or do I want to throw in some pastels today? The identity crisis I had back then, I was like, whoo, am I even human? So, I mean, they were just two different experiences. And then when I got to college, I will say in undergrad, oh, not undergrad, in like high school and all leading up to, I didn't know anyone that wasn't Christian. I knew there were just a few people that I knew were they were Muslim, but they didn't talk about it because we went to a private Christian school. And they kind of like, you know, they didn't like practice Christianity, but they just like went along with it to get through the day, you know, like one less thing that they have to worry about being like bullied about. You know what I mean? So I didn't know anything outside of that. And then I get to college and my best friend's an atheist. Another one of my best friends, she done changed religions 8 times. One week she Buddhist, next week she a Muslim. The next week, I don't even know. I ask her today, just out of curiosity, because I think it's so funny. Hey Whitney, shout out to you. I
Hey
just be
girl, what's
like,
up?
right. I just be like, Winnie, what you doing? She be like, girl, I don't know. And like I just met so many people with like different faiths, and I saw how they like latched on to their faiths. But I also saw, this was probably like the first time I saw like how the Christian church like basically demonized other faiths, or should I say like the Western Christian church at least. You know, really goes after and just like, no, that's wrong. That's more blah, 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 blah. And I really had to take it like a step back. And I was like, wait, isn't just like religion like a coping mechanism? Like, but like,
Low key, yeah. Yeah.
don't cancel me, y'all.
It
But
is.
I mean, yeah. And so I was just thinking, like, why are we going after people for like what they believe? Like, I believe in my Christian faith. Well, at the time that I was posing these questions, I had no faith. I wouldn't say that I was like fully atheist, because I've been too embedded in the church at that point to
Right.
know. Like I at least get relief and comfort from reading some of the scriptures that I remember as a kid. So I was like, I somewhat believe in this, but not to the full extent as I thought I did,
Yeah.
or that I was made out to be now that I'm in a different environment. But then, yeah, I got to college and I was just like, what? Y'all wilding out here. I like it. Like, I mean, there's just so many different like beliefs, and you saw how like religion whole like looked for other people, and that it's not just this one way, and it's not just this denomination. I don't remember who said it. It was a comedian, but their thing is like, welcome to America, where you can be any type of Christian you
Yeah.
want. And that's like one of my favorite things, because I'm just like, it's so true. You know, if you're anything else, everyone's like, oh my God, like
Right.
terrorist. But
Right.
it's just so not true, and it's just so damaging. And like just getting away from, you know, just all of like what I was taught and what I believed to be true, just because of based off the media and just all this other stuff, and like actually interacting with different people. Like I started to restructure my faith and how I thought it was. And there was a point there where I was just like, look, he can kick rocks. But I'm not like, but Jesus, if you come back and you real, take me with you. But for right now, like, I'm ready to fight. But like, I definitely went through one of those phases. And I think it's like important. I think that we grow up with this like blind belief in a sense. And it's like your mom tells you something. Why would I think what my mom is telling me is wrong? And not to say that what she thinks is wrong or, you know, it's just only applicable to her. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things like, you know, like you just have to figure it out for yourself. Like I can't have my parents' belief because honestly, like if you just in terms of religion as a whole, like your parents' belief is not going to get you nowhere if you're trying to go to heaven. If that's what you believe, and I can't like speak on other religions and how that structure looks or what that is or blah, 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 blah. Is there even a heaven? Let's talk about it. But like, like right. There's just so many questions and things that I think about. But one thing that I had to get away from was, you know, what they said. And I had to figure out like, well, what does this actually say? Mm-hmm. And so that's how like my childhood journey kind of went. One thing I will always say, gospel music slaps.
It slaps. It'll slap to the end of time.
Slaps. Right.
To the end of time. I don't care where I'm at in life. I don't care if I completely just like denounce Christianity. I'm just like, nah, I'm done with this, whatever. I will still be listening to "No Weapon Formed Against Me Shall Prosper." It won't work. Okay?
"Come Through" or Marvin Sapp. This how you know you struggling. Y'all go listen to Marvin Sapp's "Never Would Have Made It."
Ooh, never. Would have made it. Did I tell you about that time in DC when I went to church and it was a white church and the white preacher started singing that song?
You went to church in DC, first of all.
Yes. I did. And the white pastor said, this song got me through a lot of hard times. He said, never.
First of all, I was watching church this weekend. And they got on there singing what is it? "Stand" by Donnie McClurkin. "Tell me what do you do?" And I was like, hold up.
They trying to have church?
And it was this whole white man singing. I was like, go off.
You know, sometimes a white man be singing them gospel songs, but it's like far and few between.
They be tearing it up. You be like, hold on, I can't even pay attention to the words. I got you sing this song.
Nah, yeah, them gospel music slaps. It'll even people who like have no ties to Christianity can appreciate. It's not even just like the lyrics. It's just like the harmonies, the choir, the
beats.
Yeah, the ad libs, just everything, just on top of each. It's so good. Love so gospel good. Music. One of the best genres. You can fight me about it. I'll fight.
Right.
No, but yeah, I actually forgot what I wanted to say about your growth process in Christianity. Besides that, like, I guess I kind of had the same type of experience where we're from the South. So everyone in the South, I can't speak for any other region of the U.S., but everyone in the South has... it at least knows about Christianity enough to like, you know, if they needed to, you know, like talk about it, they could talk about it and have a good conversation about it. They could pretend to be a Christian. Like, you know, people in the South, you meet everyone basically it's the Bible Belt. Everyone knows a big amount about Christianity. There are churches on basically every corner. Yeah. I kind of had the same experience where most of the people, like, I was in church so often, a lot of my friends were church friends. Like, I obviously had school friends too, but all my school friends claimed to be Christian as well. That sounds really shady, claim to be Christian, but I'm just saying, like, I also said I was a Christian, but, like, you know, now I'm deconstructed, so, you know, it's a gray area. But, But yeah, like all my friends were like that. And I had a couple friends who practice other things, but they wouldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
So you just kind of assume. You're just like, okay, everyone's a Christian here, you know?
Exactly. Like, wait, funny story. When we were in elementary school, I used to hang out with like this group of girls. They were badass. Like, I still follow them today. Like, really love y'all. But one girl was like, "Oh, let's pray before we eat lunch." I'm like, "Girl, yes, let's pray." And like assuming, you know, everyone's Christian, she said Allah. I was like, oh my God. But like as a third grader, like I didn't understand that like Allah is the same like as a Christian God. So I was like, oh my God. I'm like, we're praying to somebody. Oh, who is this?
You're like, not Allah.
I was like freaking out. And I called my mom. I was like, I gotta repent of my sins. And it was just this whole thing, just of course, like I was in third grade and I was just literally like freaking out. But yeah, like same, like the people who did practice other faiths, and I honestly like just think they did it just out of like survival, or you know, or like no judgment, just didn't talk about it.
Yeah. I remember this girl I went to high school with. She I believe she was Muslim. I don't remember. I believe she was Muslim though. And she was one time talking about it, not even to me. I was just listening. But she was saying that she knows so much about Christianity, but nobody knows about her religion. And I remember actually I wasn't even listening to her conversation. Like she was talking to someone else and that someone else told me about it because we were talking about religion with each other. And my friend told me about it and I was like that was so eye-opening to me. I believe it was my senior year, junior or senior year of high school when she told me that, and I was like, that's so true. Like I know all this stuff. She knows all this stuff about Christianity, but I don't know anything about Islam at that time, at least. I didn't know anything much about Islam. I didn't try to learn. Nobody ever tried to teach me or anything like that. So, like, I really thought that Allah was like a completely different person, just like you did. And because that's kind of how they talked about it. And I'm like, I remember one time I was like, isn't it funny how we call God God and they call God Allah? And my mom was like, that means the same thing. It's like, oh, okay, I feel stupid now.
But yeah, I just remember
just like I will never forget that she had said that or just she had voiced that to my friend about how we never even like tried to learn about her religion. And religion is something that's so close to people. It's like literally your religion is how you choose to, if you have a religion. A lot of people is how they choose to live their life. Like they form their life and they make their decisions based on their religion. You know, like you make a decision or you're about to make a decision. You're like, okay, I'll pray about it. Okay, I'll read the Bible and see what comes up. Okay, I'll, you know, or read whatever. So a lot like the fact that we as Christians were never brought up to even like attempt to understand or anything like that. Like I'm like, I always think, you know, I remember one time I was in church a couple years ago, and this woman, she was a missionary, which we can get into missionaries later, but she was a missionary and she was somewhere in the Middle East, which yikes. And she was like, these people are so kind. They're so kind. I love being there. I love learning about them and whatever, but their religion is evil. I was like, what? How do you, a Christian, an evangelist, a missionary, go to a country that is not your own? You go there and you call their religion evil. They could honestly come here and say the exact same thing. The things that people use to, and the things out of Christianity that people use to justify hateful and disgusting things, they could say the exact same thing. And I'm like, I don't see how you practice a religion so fervently, so like, it's like, you know what they always say, you're on fire for God, whatever. I hate that. But
I remember one time I wrote in my journal, I was at a retreat and they were like, you're on fire for God. Everyone's on fire for God. And I was like, I'm at best lukewarm. I got to find that journal. Because ooh. I was going through it, y'all. I was going through
uh-huh.
it.
Uh-huh. You do remember? Oh my gosh. I know that we, oh my gosh. That just brought up so much crap in my mind. They would always say, like, my cousin, we went to church together, me and my cousin, and he was like the quote-unquote prayer warrior, which mm-hmm. I'm sure he's not listening either, but I love him. He's my favorite dude ever. But he was like the prayer warrior. He was like the one who's on fire for God. He was, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. And I was always like, dang, Justin really out here. Like, wow. Right. Can I get like him? I was always the one who was like the quote unquote lukewarm Christian. Like, I remember my mom, whenever I went to college or was about to go to college, she was like, I'm afraid that you're going to, you know, just fall by the wayside or whatever she would say. I don't really remember. I try to forget. But I was always that one who was like not on fire. I was just kind of there, you know?
Yeah.
And it always made me feel so bad. Like, I was like, dang, what's not clicking? In the like least jokey way possible, I was like, what is not clicking? Because
But for real, like, yeah. I'm saying the same prayers, like, genuinely, like, I'm believing the same thing.
Yeah.
But how he over here, you know, hooting and hollering, I'm just sitting here like, is he good? Another thing too, I had a very hard thing about coming to Christianity. Every time someone talked about how they came to their faith, they came to their faith like tragically,
yes.
You know, or like there was some life altering event that they were just like, and I believed in God. And I'm like, yes. I'm going to be honest. The only life altering event I had is my mama didn't answer my phone call today, you know? So I was just like, I don't understand like how to cultivate this faith that people have. So I like you, I was very lukewarm. Yeah. I was like, I believe it. Because I'm scared if I die today, I'm going to go to hell.
Okay. That was really me. Like, I was the same way. I remember when I first moved up to, like, youth church or whatever, this girl was telling her story. She was like, I got in a car accident, and I thought I was going to die. So I decided to come to Christianity. And I was like, dang, she's, like, 13 just like me, or 14, whatever. How come I haven't had a tragic accident and come to right. the Lord or whatever? Like, it just... I talked to my mom about that too. I was like, nothing has ever happened to me to make me be like, oh, let me start, you know, praying and being faithful and reading my Bible and stuff. And my mom was like, that's a blessing that you have always been on this path. Like, and I understand that, but I always felt like I had to have something that had happened to me.
Yeah,
because
those those were the stories. Yeah, they're just like, oh, I'm recovering from drugs and alcohol. I mean, you probably could have hit me up with that sophomore year of mm-hmm. college. but like as a teen, you're just like, there, you know, this person was recovering from drugs, alcohol. I remember at this one church service, they brought down this lady and they were like, if you're a prostitute, you're forgiven. And I was like, why y'all calling this woman out like this?
Oh my gosh, that was
when I tell you, first of all, church is traumatic. Can we talk about that for a moment?
Yeah,
there are so many traumatic things that happen in church, and you're just like, why was this ever a thing? Why did you exploit this person? Why did you do this? Why did you say that? Like, and literally makes you feel like you're not wanted, because it literally, like, it'd be attacking you at your core being. Now I have like a rule, like when I hear certain things, I just leave. And it's not indicative of what I believe about like my faith or anything. It's just like, whatever you're preaching that day, it does not apply to me. So I'm going to go. And it's not like one of those things, like I'm running from my issues. Like, you know, no, if they say like, if you're like LGBTQ plus IA, that whole, I saw someone call it, they were just like, if you're a part of the alphabet army, like myself.
My friend calls it the alphabet mafia.
I think it's so funny. But like when I hear stuff like that and they're just like, you're going to hell, like I immediately leave. I'm like, I don't want to hear this. Or when I hear stuff that are just like, I'm trying to think of just the random crap. Oh, like the whole like, you have choice, but all will ultimately bow down to Christ and do all this.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I'm like, I'm leaving.
No.
There are a few other ones. That make me just want to like get up and just like my skin starts to crawl. And but like again, I feel like that's just like some things that are just like man-made that aren't necessarily like you don't understand what you're saying because one, the Bible was not written in English, and there's just a lot of things that like and I'm not just sitting out here like questioning preachers and stuff like that. Whatever. I mean, yes, I am. I sit there and question them all the time. But like, I'm just like, there's certain things that you say that I know historically isn't correct. So I'm just going to go. I'm going to go. And it's okay. I'll come back next Sunday or I'll listen next Sunday. I'm not saying I'm mad or nothing. But just this some services is not the place for it because it's like traumatic.
Yeah, it is. And like, I remember... It's just, it's like, not even that they will say, like, oh, this certain group of people is going to hell, or this thing, or this, whatever. It's always like, you know, the world is getting so wicked. That's what they always say. The world is getting so wicked. It's the end times. Because I saw a trans man walking around. Like, it's no, it's end not.
Times since, like, 32 BC, but even before Jesus. It's been the end times for forever. So I need them to give me something else.
Yeah, please. Please, can you come up with something else? Please, I'm begging.
Oh my gosh. Okay, last point. You know what irritates the living life out of me?
What?
When Americans tie stuff into their, like, tie, like, politics into their religion. And not saying, like you're a Democrat, you're a Christian, or something like that. It's like when they're just like, Donald Trump moved the city of Israel to Jerusalem, or whatever, happened.
And yeah, the embassy.
Yeah, they're like, this is what God wanted. I'm like, do y'all understand how big this world is?
Right.
Do you not understand it does not revolve around us?
It does not in any way. They'll always be like, oh, there's earthquakes happening. It's the end times. No, baby.
No.
No, baby.
And
no.
It just might be, and I'm going to get right. But as for right now, I'm going to just say it. We got a few more. A few more years rolling in this tank.
Right. It just might be climate change. Have you ever thought about that? The tsunamis that are happening is climate change.
Now, if you talk to me in 7 years when they say this thing is irreversible, then I'd be like, we might have entered now.
I have entered the end times, and by revelations, but you know, right now I'm saying it's climate change, baby. Okay.
Right. There's just so many things. And I hate when they do that. I hate. Oh my God. So many things. They're like, Donald Trump moved it, recognized injury. Why do you think America is the end all be all?
Right. It's
we're
like
about to burn our whole entire country down.
it's so annoying. It's so annoying how and not even like in that sense, but also in the sense that people are like, oh well, the Bible says that abortion is illegal, which it doesn't. Let's talk about that, but not really. Yeah, right. The Bible says abortion is not right, so we're going to outlaw abortion, and we're going to make it very dangerous for women, or actually not even just women, people with uterine who are able to get pregnant. We're just going to make it very horrible for them in the future. If they want to get an abortion, they'll probably have to just unalive themselves from now on.
If they have a miscarriage, they're going to jail.
Straight to jail. If you want to be on birth control, straight to jail. We're not paying for your daycare. We're not paying for the health care of your kids once you have them. We're not giving you any food stamps for your kids once you have them. We are not paying for any type of child care after school. We're not paying for 1 to 3 years. We're not doing anything to help you. We're just going to outlaw abortion.
Right.
That's it. That's all we're going to do. So if you die in the process, oh well. Oh well. Right. Your baby's life is more important than yours. So
Right. Oh, wow. There's just a lot of aspects of Christianity, and I don't even know what point we were talking about, that just like irritate me. Cause I'm just like, one to me, like if you like just read the Sermon on the Mount example, take that, read that, just that.
Yeah.
Alone.
Yeah.
Like nothing else.
Nothing else.
I'm just nothing else. Don't even crack open the rest of the Bible. But if you want to check out King James, I mean, not King James, King David, you can read his stuff.
Check out Psalms. And when you're on the way to closing your Bible, check out the Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
Psalms slaps. Okay. I will die on that hill. Like Psalms is the best book of the Bible. I don't care.
I agree. I think Psalms and Proverbs slap. Yes. And Ruth. Wait, is that even a book of the Bible?
Yes.
Yes,
Ruth and Esther.
Yes.
Pretty good. Pretty solid.
Good. I agree. I think they're spot on. Anyway. But also Revelations banger.
Yeah, I don't read that.
If one thing has the skill factor, you're just like, wow, this is they coming for it. Ooh.
Yeah.
But no, literally, like the Sermon on the Mount, like just Christianity, you just like literally they said, but above all else, love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is the only thing you should be doing. And in the Sermon on the Mount, it literally talks about how you should not judge. Like before you judge, it's like before you judge what the speck in someone else's eye, take the plank, the entire plank out of your own
eye.
Just like, who are you to sit here and say that this is bad, or who are you to sit here and say that this is blah blah blah? Like, just address yourself and keep it moving.
Right.
Literally, all you have to do is love me as you love yourself. And people out here are selfish, so I you love me a lot then. Right. So I'm just like, I understand. I feel like I don't have any, like, you know, any big things that I'm just out here like judging people on. I think I try not to do it. I'm not going to say that I don't do it. I'm absolutely human. I know that I have some like prejudgments against like whatever, like it can be a situation. I'd be like, what the hell? but in a sense, I try to check myself or, you know, whatever, just like live off of that. But there's some Christians and most Christians that don't do that. They think they are the righteous ones, that they are the only one. They probably, some of them probably think they are out here thinking they're Jesus. That is a crime.
I would not be surprised. That's a crime. Yeah, no, I honestly think that like the main commandment, as Jesus says, he's like, this is my only commandment, basically. Love your neighbor as yourself. I think that was like my like catalyst, I guess, to deconstruction, that I was like, dang, people really not out here loving others. Like, I remember my freshman year of college, I prayed a lot about becoming, I wanted to be an empath so bad. And I already was. Like, I guess I didn't realize it, but I think I was taught not to be. And then I really wanted to be, though. So I prayed about it so much that I wanted to be an empath. I want to be empathetic. I want to be able to put myself in other people's shoes and whatever. And I remember my mom telling me, like, that's a good prayer to have, but make sure that you, like, don't get so empathetic that you end up, like, going away from Christianity, basically is what she was saying. Mm-hmm. And I was like, isn't that the point, though? To be empathetic, to love your neighbor as yourself, to be able to put yourself in other people's shoes. And, you know, so I was like, this is what I want. This is what I want for myself. I want to be able to love people and, you know, whatever. And I didn't see it. I didn't see people doing that. I saw people being extremely judgmental. I saw people hating others for things that are out of their control. Like, and then being like, oh yeah, but I'm still a Christian though. Like, I hate you, but I'm still a Christian. I still believe in Jesus, who said, love your neighbor as yourself. That, on top of like the way that people talked about people of the LGBTQ community, I was like, I can't do that. No.
Yeah.
And even the times when I like tried to make myself believe that, I was like, oh, that's wrong. That's completely a sin. Like, I really tried to make myself believe that, and it made me depressed. Like,
yeah,
I was like, I can't do that to myself. Like, I can't force myself to believe that a whole thing, a community that brings so much like love and happiness and just, I don't know, positive energy to the world, is a sin. I don't believe that. I also, now I don't believe in objective sin. I just don't believe in, whatever. But, you know, at the time I was like, this is so, like, I just couldn't do it. It was, and like, I actually, like, when I went through my deconstruction process, when I first started it, when I was finally like, look, this is not what I believe anymore. You know, this is not what I want to practice. This is not how I see things. I don't, whatever. Like, my religion is not my mom's religion. And I was like, I got really depressed like the whole year. I was just figuring things out. And I was like, oh my gosh, this thing that I thought I believed in that I don't now. And then I was still going to my old church too sometimes. And it was hard. It was so hard to like be in that space where I learned all these things, and I was like, I need to believe these things. Like, if I don't believe these things, then I'm going to hell. And I remember too, like, I don't remember what year of college it was, but there was like a church group on campus one time, and they were just stopping people by asking questions like, what do you believe in? You know, do you want to come serve? Like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this guy was like, if you were to die today, or if Jesus was to come back today, do you think you would go to heaven or hell? Where do you think you would go? Was what he said, not heaven or hell. And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, why don't you know? And I was like, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died for our sins and all this stuff, but what if I repent right now and then I go and sin and then I go to hell? And he was like, that's not how that works. I was like, oh, what?
Right.
It took this random man to explain to me that the Bible never said you can never sin again. The Bible said repent for your sins. The Bible never said you can never sin again. The Bible said believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he died for your sins, and you will go to heaven. That's it. And I was like, what?
That's true. I had that same, like, untethering, if you will. Literally, I was sitting, like, I don't, and literally, to me, it was also a random man. Maybe it was the same guy. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Okay, we're gonna have to talk about what he looked like after this.
Right, right. But no, literally, he was just like, this person was just like, we sit here, and every time you go to church, you're getting saved again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, literally, like, you just say it once, and you just like repent for your sin, and that's it. But like, I felt like, as a child and just growing up in the church, like, the first time I sinned, and look, I was sinning right after I said, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I probably
was lying about it.
Right.
I said, I believe that I said, that's a lie.
Right.
That is a lie.
Right. And no, like, I explicitly remember they're just like, that's not a thing. That's not a thing. Coming to church, every single church I was out there saying the sinner's prayer. I'm like, Lord,
I accept you into my life.
Forgive me. I know he got tired of me. He's like, he up there, take a shot every time, Micaiah. She accepts me.
It's like her again. She comes back again to the altar.
What? Right. But no, I had that same experience, and I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, when I figured that out, I was like, are they onto something? And I think too, that was the first time I ever questioned anything someone in the church had said to me. Like my parents or something. That was like the first time I questioned it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I don't have to keep, you know, saying the same, like, I accept you as Lord, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have to act like I'm not in this community. Like, when I sin, like, as soon as you sin, you're just like, oh, man, God don't even want me. I'm a riffraff.
I guess I'm going to hell.
Right. you be nonchalant with it, too. You be like, well, okay.
Well, I disobeyed my parents. Guess I'm going to hell. I'm about to burn in eternal fire.
Right. You're just like, hopefully I make it to Sunday so I could accept the Lord.
That's one more time.
Right, one more time. But no, literally, like, I had the exact same experience, and I was just like, oh my, is he onto something? But again, that was like my first, like, you know, maybe I should start questioning what they're teaching me.
Yeah, that was the same for me too. I was like, I remember, like, talking to him. And at that time, I believe it was my sophomore year, but I don't remember. But I was going to church. I was going to two small groups a week. And then, you know, I'd do my devotional, whatever. And I remember, like, going to small group after that. And I was like, what? What is this? It was, like, so eye-opening to talk to this guy, this random dude, for, like, 5 minutes about what I believed. And I don't know it. And after that, I was just like, never the same again. I was never the same again. And he probably has no idea the type of impact that he has had on my life, but
he probably just saw this 13-year-old like, girl, you don't gotta do that, stupid, and walked away.
Maybe I was 19.
Oh, excuse me. He really was like, this whole 19-year-old, like, who is she, stupid?
And, idiot. No, but it's just so crazy to like, you know, your your foundation, as they talk about a lot in the church, that your foundation needs to be strong. You cannot build a house on sand. My foundation was Christianity, that I was always learning the same things, like, okay, well, you can't sin, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that. And he just completely destroyed my foundation with that one little conversation. And I was like, okay, where do I go from here?
Yeah.
You know? And after that, I feel like everything that happened that pertained to Christianity for me after that, I was questioning it. I was like, why can't we have mental health issues in Christianity? Yeah. Why can't we, like, there's so many things that I was like, the Bible does not say anything explicitly about this.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we, you know, why do we still so fervently believe this? So, like, we get so angry when people don't believe the same things that we do, you know? And yeah. I was like, it's just so hurtful to even be a part of, you know, it hurts you because you're like, yeah. I'm so traumatized that people told me my whole life that everything I did was wrong, that my intuition was wrong. That's something that really got me. Mm-hmm. I was like, people would always say, like, you can't trust your own emotions in the church, not people. People in the church would say, you can't trust your own emotions because, you know, they're not guided by God. They're not whatever. And I was like, mm-hmm. but now I think I'm like, God gave me these emotions. If, you know, if we believe in God and we believe that he made everything, that he knows what's going on in my head and in my life, God yeah. gave me these emotions. He gave me intuition. He gave me the Holy Spirit, which I believe is intuition. So I'm like, why don't we trust ourselves? This is what they teach you. They teach you all these years not to trust yourself, not to, you know, not to love yourself, not to do this, not to do that. And it ends up, you become so, like, downtrodden on yourself that you have to rely on the church. You have mm-hmm. to rely, you know, you have to keep coming back so that they can uplift you because you can't uplift yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know. It's just so, like, so much stuff to unlearn. When you finally open your eyes and you're like, oh, shoot.
You're exactly.
Yeah. And all these things that you, like, believe are sin, like drinking. Oh, my gosh. I thought that was a sin for so long. I am on my third glass of wine tonight.
No, I remember, like, I've been cursing for years, for eons, if you will. I think that is embedded in my spirit. I feel like whoever, I also, weird fact, I believe in reincarnation, but, like, that's a whole different story. Right. But no, I feel like whoever is in my body right now, homegirl has been going off for years. But with that being said, like, in high school, I used to justify it. I'm like, Jesus said ass, but that was in the King James version, and that just meant donkey. And I was, and he never said that. Like, and I would, like, walk around, like, using that as my justification. Listen, clowns, because they'd be like, you can't curse as a Christian, which I'm trying to. People around me would be like, no, you're not. I don't think y'all understand. As soon as I see it, I'd be like, look, when I be doing my prayers in the morning, I'd be like, Lord Jesus, you know my heart, okay? No way, you know how to be out here trying to be calling people bleep, bleep, bleepity bleeps. But it's just,
I don't think curse words is a sin either. Like, I just don't. I'm like, that's not going to send me to hell. Not that I say them, because I just don't feel
comfortable. If it does, I'm going down there on a little rowboat.
Look, half the things that I do, according to traditional Christians, are sin. So I'm going to hell. I might be on level one or whatever, but I'm still going.
Probably at a smooth level three.
I'm going to some level. And, oh, well, whatever. Baby, I don't even believe in hell anymore. So... I don't know where I'm going.
Right. That was one of my other things that started my deconstructing of Christianity. It was that whole thought of, like, why do bad things happen to good people? I to this day, I cannot wrap my head around that. And it, like it racks my brain. Like, just this, like, this past week with, so CNN, like, released an article, basically showing like America's back to normal, and basically talking the journalist that did it was Elliot Laughlin. Yeah, and basically saying like, we've had 7 mass shootings in 7 days.
Yeah.
I think it was Dallas, Houston, Atlanta, Colorado, Oregon, Philadelphia, California. I'm sure I'm missing some. I don't know.
Yeah, there's probably been another one today.
Right. And it, like when the Atlanta shooting happened, I was just like I was just praying, and I was like, whoo, Lord Jesus, like, you know, send so much relief to these communities involved in these families and all this other stuff. Like, I just don't understand why it's happening. Then we turn around and see, and I didn't even know about the other ones until, like, I read this article. And then we turn around and see Colorado. And I just couldn't, I'm just like, at this point, I can't even fathom it. Like, why is this happening?
Right.
Like, and it was that whole, you know, I'm not like, there's a lot of verses that say don't sit here and test and like challenge God and things like that. But I like go back and forth. I'm just like, well, this is like when I first started. Now I don't do it so much. But I'm just like, if you're so powerful, like, why can't you stop this?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like racking my brain, because I just don't understand how good things or bad things can happen to good people. And or not even good people. Like, why are these horrific acts taking place?
Yeah,
like, and period. That just feels like worldwide. Yeah, just period. Like, yeah. It just, I could not understand it. And another thing I could not understand, if our, like, they constantly preach that, and you read it in the Bible, that God is so merciful, God's so graceful, God loves everyone, and it goes to that same thing, then why is there a hell?
Right.
There are nation, because I'm just like, if he's so, and I'm not out here, and everyone, like, of course they throw back in that argument, they're like, what about Hitler, blah blah blah, and I'm like, right. Look, don't throw that in my face, like, that is just such a like I don't know, and of course, like, we'll never know the answers until, you know, I decide to reincarnate in someone else, but but like, we'll never know those answers. And like, I don't understand, like, too, like, their whole, like, you have to, like, faith is believing without seeing and knowing and just all this other stuff. But, like, there's just some things that I continuously wonder about that just really made me question it all together. And another thing that we were taught in church, too, which breaks my heart, like, I cry most of the times, like, about this, like, I'll be honest. The whole, like, if you commit suicide, you're going to hell.
Yes.
And the thing is, like, I've done a lot of, like, research and just looking into, like, suicide and other things. And there was one documentary that actually stuck out to me, and it was about James Dean. He, you know, he was, like, a heartthrob in I don't know which decade.
Mm-hmm.
But basically they said, like, you know it's bad when you think this is your only option. And I'm like, how low do you have to be in yourself, in your spirit, and you know what I mean, to mm-hmm. think that this is my only option? And I'm like, there is no way that these people are going to hell.
Yeah.
And yeah. I couldn't, when I say I couldn't, and it's that whole thing, they're just like, this is another thing that I hate when Christians do, they throw that false positivity back at you. They're just mm-hmm. like, you're having a rough day, just pray, all the answers will come to you. No, it won't.
I know.
No, it won't, you know. Like, I'm sure, like, eventually, like, it'll work itself out. But when you have people, like you said, like, we don't necessarily address, like, you know, like, just mental issues or just anything at all in, like, the Christian community. Like, what do you say to those people who are actually, like, struggling, who are going down this path, who, you know, don't see, like, this is their own, they're like, this is it, this is the only thing. You can't tell me to pray. You tell me to pray, I'm like, look, where's the gun? Like, I know it's very, like,
I'll unalive you and me at the same time. I'll right, do it.
Right. And it was those, like, few questions and things that just really got me on to, like, I just, like, don't understand certain things. And I will never understand these things as long as I live. Probably my spirit has been asking this question in all of her little bodies.
Mm-hmm. I think that was a big thing for me too, when I was like, because I actually didn't really understand why people didn't believe in hell until a couple months ago. So, like, it's never really truly a never ending journey that you just find a new thing, you're like, oh yeah, that doesn't make sense. I have always thought, like, dang, hell is really cruel for an all-powerful, all-loving God. That's really cruel. I just didn't understand why he would say, like, I give you the choice to either be Christian or not. I give you the choice to believe in me or not. But if you don't believe in me, you're going to hell. That doesn't make sense.
There's the other scripture that's just like, but you'll bow down to me anyway. So I'm like, right. Well, if I'm going to do it.
Where's the choice?
What are we doing?
where's the choice at? Because, you know, they say, like, there's like this part in Revelation, I guess, where it's like the people who believe in me originally are going to be raptured. And then there will be like a 7-year period where everyone else is tortured. And then if they come to me, they come to me. If they don't, they don't. If they don't, they're going to hell. So I'm like, so you're going to torture people for 7 years. First you're going to rapture the people who already believe in you, then and put them in heaven. Then you're going to torture the people who don't believe in you. Some of them will come to believe in you. You'll rapture them, take them to heaven. The rest of them go to hell. What?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. And I'm like, I know that religion and faith is supposed to be basically senseless. That's what they teach you. Like, you're not supposed to be thinking about this deeply. But I'm not going to believe in something that I haven't thought about deeply.
Exactly.
And that's the reason why I have deconstructed. And I have come to the belief that I believe in Jesus so much. I love Jesus, truly.
Mm-hmm.
He's
same.
That man is a communist. And I will support a communist, okay? But I believe in Jesus wholeheartedly. Completely. It's like the gospel Jesus. Like I wrote in our Google Doc, fandom Jesus versus canon Jesus, because Christians as a fandom, they have jacked him up. They have messed him up. They have made him white, first of all. What is that about? Why is he white? Why is my Jesus white?
He white with long, luscious hair. They would cut his hair off and make a weave.
Okay, let's talk about it. But
he had some beautiful body wave curls. I was like, not Jesus out here with the 18-inch bundles.
Okay, he said Brazilian. No, but they messed him up, really. And then, but like Jesus actually in the Bible, he was, you know, anti, he did say pay your taxes, which is not very communist of him. I'm just saying. But
look, besides that, safe. He like, look, I know if y'all don't pay your taxes, what's going to happen. So just do that for me.
Just do it. Just go ahead and comply. But
you don't get your money back, maybe. Okay.
Make sure you file your tax return. But like that part in the Bible where people are literally being greedy and disgusting in front of a church, like selling things, and he completely destroys their shops or whatever. He's like, don't do this. You're being disrespectful and greedy and disgusting. I'm like, that is my man. That's my man, Jesus. That's a Jesus that I am willing to believe in. Not the Jesus that's like, actually, women suck.
And yeah.
Because Jesus also said, if you as a man are feeling lustful that you're lusting after a woman, gouge out your eyes. Have you thought about gouging your eye out? That's what he's literally.
This goes to all men. PSA to all men.
All men ever. Have you thought about gouging your eye out? Like literally in the wake of a mass shooting where we have a guy who blames it on his sexual addiction, his sex addiction, whatever. We have a God who says, if you're feeling lustful, don't take it out on women. Don't take it out on whoever you're feeling lust towards. Gouge your own eye out, because it would be better to not have an eye or not have two eyes than it is to do exactly what that man did, which was take his frustrations out on people who did not deserve anything like that. So, you know, I just don't understand how people could take a Jesus like that and make him into a racist, a white man.
Yeah.
A white man. I'm just like, so like,
that needs to be like a song in a like a Broadway production. Hey white man.
A white man.
Right.
but it's just so like, just never made sense to me at all. That people truly believe that he was like that he would approve of this stuff that they're doing, you know? I'm like, yeah. Do we read the same Bible? Do we even serve the same God? Because at this point, the American God, the American Jesus, is not Jesus. It's yeah. not the, you know, they always talk about the true picture of Jesus. You don't even have a true picture. I exactly. don't have a true picture because yeah. I am reading this Bible that has been translated many times by a man who was not even Christian. So I'm doing what I can with what I have.
Right.
But this doesn't make sense. And then on top of that, people are always using the Bible to validate their most hateful things, mm-hmm. to trick people. Because do you remember, actually, I don't know if you were at UGA at this time, but there was a time where these people were going around college campuses, so it might have happened at
the ones given at the Green Bibles.
No, two different people everywhere, but it was always two people, and they would go around talking about God the Mother, and they would stop people and they would get their numbers and they would be like, oh, I'm inviting you to this Bible study and whatever. It was a trafficking thing.
Oh, and no, I wasn't at UGA. But you remember that happened to someone in DC?
Oh yeah. 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 It was. And I actually had spoken to those people, at UGA. I spoke to them. And then right after I finished speaking with them, I got a message about how these people were at UGA now, and I was like, guys, watch out, it's an Asian man and a black woman. I'm giving them full descriptions, like, don't talk to them. But I had a conversation with them, and she was telling, you know, talking about all these things, and I guess she just didn't expect me to know as much as I did, because I was arguing with her. I was like, this is wrong, what, like, everything that you're saying is wrong. Not to say that God cannot be a mother as well as a father. I don't believe that God has a gender because it's God. But I was,
like, we literally only give him a gender to conceptualize.
Right. Something that we literally cannot conceptualize. But yeah, so I talked to her and she was bringing up these points that I was like, that's just not right. But it's just ugly how people use Christianity to further their disgusting goals. Like to start a human trafficking scheme surrounding God. Like,
I mean, my favorite one is the whole, you know, how they justified slavery, serve your master.
Oh my god.
I was like, not y'all out here doing that.
Oh my god. Yeah. And then you wonder, people wonder, like, why aren't young black people trying to be Christians anymore? There are a lot of young black people who are still, but it's because you tricked our ancestors.
Right.
It's not even trick. They didn't trick them. They were blatant about it. They were like, you cannot have your own religion. You are going to follow the religion that I give you. You're going to serve your master. And that's what they did. They didn't allow them to read, to learn how to read English. They didn't allow them to speak their languages. They didn't allow them to practice their religions. And then, you know, they're like, okay, well, Christianity is the way to go. Here's this Pentecostal religion. Or actually, I think back then it was Baptist, and then Pentecostal was like the black folks. But either way, they literally like use this religion to oppress us. And then they wonder, why are young black people deconstructing? Why are they, you know, I'm like, because we saw what you did.
Yeah.
We not only did we see slavery, we saw the Crusades.
L-O-L.
Are we just gonna forget that ever happened? The Crusades.
Absolutely. They stay forgetting.
I'm just like truly sick that they expect us to just blindly follow a religion that has such bloody history.
Yeah.
I just can't. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And it doesn't make sense that people are questioning why young people are deciding to not practice Christianity in the same way that they were brought up in, because it's traumatizing.
Yeah.
It's nasty. It just doesn't, I don't know. I don't want to be a part of something that I know is not serving me.
Yeah. And no, I completely agree. It's like there was a point, And I kind of stopped doing this because I got lazy explaining it. Where I would tell people, like, I'm not a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. To me, those are two completely different things. Because I'm like, a Christian, like you explained to me, is the fandom of it all. You know, it's just like all these people, yeah, I don't even know what they be believing. But I'm like, have you actually, like, for a second taken time to read? And I'm not out here trying to, like, you know, of course, come for, like, some people's religion because
Yeah.
they really just be out here believing it, and that's okay. But for me, that wasn't okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't okay in the slightest. And I was like you said, like, you read about Jesus and you're like, hold up, is this man onto something? And then
Right.
you put, like, historical context between, like, what he's saying, and you're like, is he revolutionary?
He was revolutionary.
And you're just like, okay, pop off, king. Like, I'll follow. Like, dang, go off.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that, like, I feel like you just have to study it yourself and figure it out for yourself, what you want to believe, who you want to follow. And because, like you said, they're two different out here in the world. There are, first of all, multiple depictions of Jesus.
Yeah.
And because the Bible has been translated multiple times, and not only that, for women, it's not even, you know, I feel like indicative of how we function, because it was written by men for men, you know, to
Right.
interpret by other men, you know,
Right, translated by a man.
So there, you add on that extra layer, so you really gotta, like, fight through and peel through the surfaces of what actually, like, is the true faith of it all.
Yeah.
And that's just, like, one thing that I had to do completely. But I will say, like, that test and that testament almost took me away from the faith completely.
Yeah.
And I also think that that is okay. Like, if
Yeah.
it did that for you, I know so many people, if it did that for you, like, I get it. I
Yeah.
completely get it 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about that too because I follow a lot of like deconstruction accounts on Instagram where they'll post about like church trauma or things that they have learned on their journey or whatever. And some of them are like, yeah, I deconstructed and I'm no longer a Christian, or I deconstructed and I'm still a Christian, whatever. And sometimes I'm like, do I? Like, I have deconstructed and I still consider myself a Christian, or at least I believe in Jesus. So I'm like, am I only still here because I'm afraid to like not be here? You know? Am I afraid that if my family finds out that they'll be angry with me? You know, there's so
Yeah,
much
'cause I mean
there.
it's like losing an identity, especially, like, if you've grown up with it grown up with it, like, from childhood, you know,
Yeah.
like, you're just like, wait, hold on. There's so much weight that goes when you know, leave the church. And that
Yeah.
goes for any church. Like, that
Right,
goes
right,
for
right.
any religion. There's so much weight that comes with that,
Yeah.
leaving any religion at any point. But no, I feel you.
Yeah, it's I think that honestly, like at now in my life, I still believe in Jesus. I think Jesus is really cool. Truly a role model, if you ask me. I love communist men. But no, I don't. I hate men. But I like Jesus. But yeah, right now I can say like, yeah, I still believe in Jesus. I think he's cool, whatever. But 5 years from now, who knows? Who knows? Maybe I'll have found out more information and be like, okay, I think I'm gonna let this go, you know? And that's okay too. Like we are ever changing, especially in our 20s. Like I don't know why I'm keep thinking about my birthday coming up because it's 2 months away, which is not that long, but like it's long enough for me to not be, why am I still thinking about it? But I'm like, I'm not even deep into my 20s. But from 19 to now, I'm so different. I'm so different. I'm just a completely changed person. And we are ever changing, we're ever evolving to be just like better versions of ourselves, I believe. And sometimes we feel like the worst version of ourselves, because that happens to me a lot too. But in the end, I'm like, I have learned so much through college classes, through talking to people, through this and that, that I'm just like, there's no way that I can just blindly believe anything anymore, you know? That Because even like my junior year of college, I thought about adding a religion minor because I was like, I took a religion class. It was China, India, Japan. So like the Chinese, Indian, and Japanese religions, the main ones at least. And I took that class and I was like, that was another eye opener for me that I was like, wow, people are so passionately believing in other things that I don't personally believe in. And also these things make sense to me. You know, there was like little pieces of every religion that I was like, that makes a lot of sense to me. And I can incorporate that philosophy into my own practice and still be who I am now, who believes in Jesus and loves Jesus, whatever. I'm like, yeah, why can't we just like, obviously I'm not gonna completely adopt another religion and be like, it's Christianity. even though Christians have done that in the past, that's why we have Christmas on December 25th because it was a pagan holiday, but whatever. Anyways, I can't just do that. I'm not going to just do that, but I was like, these practices make sense to me, and I like how they view the world. I like how they view people. I like how, you know, so I would just be like, okay, I can incorporate that into my belief system too. And that's the same, like, I feel that way with religion. I feel that way with astrology, that I'm like, there's no way this can't also be real, you know? Like, I can believe in Jesus and astrology. I can, and I'm going to. Like, no one can stop me.
No,
It's,
definitely.
yeah.
Oh, I was gonna say, like, college classes, like, I feel did wasn't that required for us to take a religion course?
Yeah, but you could choose, like,
Yeah,
you
you
know,
could you had so many options,
so many
like
options.
so many options. I took Christian feminist theology. And one thing that I got in there before I even realized, which I didn't even know that this was a thing. So what while I was deconstructing my faith, I hated the whole like goddess king thing. 'Cause I felt like I can't connect, you know? They're just like always like, you can connect with God, you can connect with Jesus. No, I couldn't. If he's a king and I'm just like this lonely old servant asking for a piece of bread, like the hell? Like I'm nowhere close to that. So I kind of took like God the Father as the model that I modeled myself off of. And I modeled it off of the relationship that I have with my dad. I know my dad is my dad. I know he is like my protector. I know he does these things that, you know, like you think like a dad does. But one thing about my dad, me and my dad, we talk to each other like we're regular people. I'd be like, hey boy, what's up? What you doing today? Like, you know, like we're very conversational. We joke, we have fun. And so I realized like they would always say like God the Father. And so I modeled my relationship with God the way my relationship with like my dad is. And when I say moved wonders, because like they'd be like, I remember in church, they'd be like, let us pray. God Jehovah, blah 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 blah. Like, I'm like,
God,
hey,
Jehovah
what?
Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah
Right.
Nissi.
I'm like, can we just not? Literally, like sometimes I'd be like, I start prayers, like, and people think I'm like talking to myself because I'll do it in public. I'd be like, hey, yo, big dog, like, the girl's stressed. And I really had to make that relationship like something that like I could tangibly like relate to in order to connect to God, because I was like, there's no way for me to do that. But when I took that Christian feminist theology class, I realized that's just like another model. Like, I didn't even know that that was a thing, like a model of God. Like, I just remember them talking about like God is king, or like God is your father, or God is your provider, or God is your this, God is your that. So I just latched on to the God is Father, and I modeled it off me and my dad, as I just said. But when I took the class, they were like, no, God is your friend, God is your mother. And one of the papers we had to write actually was really cool. It was like, write God as a model, like just like as a new model. And I don't remember what I did. I think I did like God as like a sales consultant or something. I do not remember what I did, but it was a really cool paper. Basically just giving like a new, not necessarily definition of God, but just a new way of relating to God. No, I did God as a park ranger.
Oh, that's cute.
And I talked about how park rangers, like, you know, they care for the earth, but like they need to rely on you as much as you rely on them, like to keep the park clean, to do this. And like I talked about it from like a creation standpoint, like we're all on the earth together, but we need each other to, you know, make sure it goes well. Like God provides for us, and he's given us this earth to provide for us, so we should do that. It's like I didn't even know that like
what I was doing when I was deconstructing was even like an actual thing, you know, like shifting like the way I thought about God, and like also like just adding on things that like you said, that like I can believe in like both things. And it's just crazy, like I mean, since I already talked about it on this podcast, I'll just go out and say it because all my friends think I'm crazy for saying it. But I personally believe I'm Cleopatra. I believe that I am reincarnated as Cleopatra. Tell me I'm not. I genuinely believe it. Like,
I don't know how to even process that. I need to go to therapy just to process that specific statement. I'll get back to you in 5 to 7 business days on how I feel about that statement, because what
fair, that's fair. Literally, I've told that to so many people and they've just stared at me, they're like, ma'am. I've been reading books, she and my soul group, hey girl.
Okay, anyways.
But in the sense of like you I say, I'm joking of course, but I say that like in the sense of like you pick up things from other places and you're like, I can also believe that too. Yeah. And you're like, I can, you know, adopt that into my life and it fits. And I can also believe in this too, because and believe in Christianity and believe in Christ and believe like all the things that he taught and all this other stuff, which I think is very cool. But it absolutely takes a deconstructing motive to, you know, even get to that place. And it's not even like you said, like you're not over here, like I'm not adopting other like religions and like saying like this is Christianity, but it's like this concept of how you I'm just like throwing stuff out there, like you care for this person or these group of people, you're just like, I want to adopt that to you. Our like religion doesn't specifically talk about this, but I'm gonna do that, you know what I mean?
It's
stuff like that, which I think is like very cool. But it wasn't until I got to college too that I was like, oh whoa, they be doing study stuff, like whoa.
Right. It's like, so I was afraid to take a religion class actually when I first got to college, because I remember talking to my mom about it. I'm talking about my mom a lot this episode, but it's because my mom is the Christian one and out of my parents. Like my dad is a Christian too, he believes in God, but he never went to church, like only on Christmas or Christmas Eve, whatever. So my mom was the one who would take us to church, who would do Bible study with us and stuff. But anyways, I remember telling my mom, like, I want to take a religion class when I get to college. And she was like, you know, it's not like Bible study. I was like, yeah, I know. It's theology. It's not the same thing as church. But I was always afraid to take the class that I actually wanted, which was the one that I ended up taking, because I was like, will she think that I'm trying to convert? You know, it's always like, that's how it is, you know, that you're always thinking like, if I do this thing, will people think that I'm no longer a part of them, you know? Yeah. Because like you said, it's like, if you do something different or you end up like, oh, I'm not really a Christian anymore or whatever, it's like losing a part of your identity, but it's more than that too. It's losing a community. Like you're losing so many people that you know will ridicule you if you leave. You know that they'll really ridicule you. So it sucks. Yeah. But anyways, that's not the point that I was trying to make. I was going to say that one of the big things that also, another big thing that led to my deconstruction, was that one time I read this thing where somebody was like, there would be no God if there was no Satan. And I was like, oh, I was like, excuse me. But it's true. It's like, there is no light if we do not know dark. You know, there is no God if we do not know Satan. So it's like, so it was so jarring to me to even read something like that and like think about it, because basically everything that I read, I think about a little deeper than it's probably meant to even be thought about. So so I read that and I was like, oh my gosh, that is so true. Like, there are no heroes if there aren't any villains. So in this case, Satan is a villain, God is a hero. So what would be the point of God if there was no Satan? And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to fit that into my version of Christianity. So I just kind of was like writing it off for so long that I was like, nah, I can't believe in that. I can't do that. And then finally I came back to it and I was like, yeah, God exists because Satan exists. You know, there's no other explanation. Just like, religion is the opiate of the masses. I was always so like hurt by that I was like, no, it's not the opiate of the masses, but it is.
You,
like we said at the beginning, you turn to religion, you turn to God, you turn to whatever, because you need something. You need something to hold on to. You need something to believe in. It's the opiate of the masses, where you can use religion to be like, to like sedate people, to be like, oh, well, just like with Trump, you know, people are saying, oh, he's a, he's what God chose. He did this. He did that. Whatever.
Then you had the opposing side. He's the Antichrist.
He's the Antichrist. Yeah. Yeah. But people were really believing that that Trump was God chosen, and that is an opiate to say that. Yeah. He. This is what God chose, and we need to pray for leaders. You know, that's an opiate. Mm-hmm. They were just okay. Like, okay.
I just want to let all Christians know, if Jesus were on the earth, democracy would not exist.
Yep. Exactly that. Exactly that. If Jesus was on the earth, if Jesus was walking the earth right now, and he was like as big, like if we still had as many followers of Christ as we do, or Christians as we do, and Jesus was walking the earth present day, we would be living on a communist earth. And Jesus would be our communist leader. Like, I don't care what you believe, but Jesus is not the democratic king that you think that he is. He's not at all.
It's one of those things too. Like, I don't think people understand, like, democracy breeds competition. There is no competition in the kingdom of God.
Ooh. Right. Democracy. Listen,
Sometimes I'll be like, the Lord, I think he want me to be a prophetess, but he'd be like, you curse too much. I'd be coming out with these one-liners.
No,
it's really the beer.
The fact that this is the first episode that we're drinking on, and it's the religious episode. I'm like knocking back wine. You're like, let me pop this bottle of beer.
Right.
I guess you know how we feel about this whole religion thing.
right from this right here. No, I think I also think, like, in terms of just religion, our generation as well has been challenging it. And I love it. I love to see it. I love when people ask questions about faith, and I love looking for those answers within the, like, in the Bible or just in other spaces. There are some answers that I've gotten from Christianity that have come from the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, like, open your eyes and, like, expand yourself, you can utilize these other resources and things like that, to answer questions about your own faith. And that's one thing that I, like, loved when I got to college, and once I finally got myself together, because I'm like, ooh, let me pull this up. Let me Google this. But I think, like, our generation really is doing that a lot. And they're another thing that, like, we talked about earlier, not taking it for face value. We understand this is not translated by us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Translated to fit a narrative. And so you really have to sit there and pick apart, like, what this actually is. And look, COVID hit our generation. Like, we got time. We don't got nothing going on.
Time.
We got time, baby. Time to sit there and just, like, figure it out for ourselves, because we're just not going to follow something blindly, because it's those blind things that have got us in the situations that we're in today.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah.
I saw this TikTok recently. I guess, you know, this episode is getting pretty long, but you and I could talk about religion for millennia. But
that was, like, the founding thing of, like, our friendship. Like, one of them, like, we literally sat there and talked about religion, which is not, like, a light topic to sit there and talk about with someone you just met.
right. Yeah, no, it's one of my favorite topics to talk about, honestly, because there's so much that's so intricate about it. But I saw this TikTok where someone was like, I was like all for capitalism. I was all for democracy. I was all for all of this stuff that they shoved down our throats until COVID hit. And I remember she was like, I remember my anniversary of when I became an anti-capitalist. And somebody stitched it and was like, this is what capitalism does. It preys upon us not having the free time to think. So when COVID hit, especially us young people had so much free time to think, to be like, wait, this system is jacked up, because usually we have we're busy all 5 days of the of 5 weekdays, and then our weekends we're trying to like chill out and not think about anything. We're trying to hang out with our friends, we're trying to do this, whatever. So we never have time to really sit back and be like, oh my gosh, this really sucks. The existence that I'm living sucks. And it's the same thing. Like that's how capitalism continues to go, that we never have a chance to think about it. So, and the same thing happens with like religion, Christianity specifically, that we are so busy with, you know, I need to go to church on Wednesday, I need to go to church on Sunday, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to whatever. And then our actual jobs and, you know, feeding into capitalism, which is also a whole other conversation about how Christianity feeds into capitalism, but whatever, we can talk about that another day. But anyways, we are so busy like figuring all this, like doing all this stuff, that we are never able to sit down and be like, oh, this is crap. Like, it's just a bunch of crap that I was fed all these years of my life. I never had a chance to sit down and think about it. So I'm just going to continue believing because I don't really have time to even deconstruct or even think about deconstructing, you know? Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. It's just really, I guess, interesting how, you know, people always say like the young people are killing religion. They're like not whatever. They're not going to church as often. They're not doing this or doing that. But honestly, I think if anything, young people are making it better.
Feel like they're making it like the concept that we think of religion is. I feel like they're actually putting that into practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, I completely agree. Going back to the whole on fire notion, mm-hmm. I feel like I feel more on fire for God, or like, you know, that whole, you know, really just gotta burn for the Lord. or I see more people doing it now than I do, but they also have gone through this phase, especially like the kids who've grown up. Or I remember one of my favorite like conversations that I've ever had with one of my friends. Her name's Sydney. Sydney like didn't become a Christian until she was 24. Mm-hmm. And that's just something I didn't know. I literally like, you know, that's outside of being a student, outside of being a woman, outside of being African-American, outside of being a student, and outside of being, like, those are my four identifying factors, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't know anything else. And then when I talked to Sydney, she was just like, I'm an atheist, or I was an atheist my whole life, you know, that just wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. And like ever. And she was like, I decided to become a Christian when I got older. And hearing her talk about it and hearing how our faith is the same, but mm-hmm. it took me a whole like path to get there. And like seeing how like she's quote unquote on fire and how like I'm quote unquote on fire. Like I feel like to me, it's like a realistic faith in order to continue on this journey. You know, like it's something like I can conceptualize. Like I never understood like the people who were like when we were in church talking about they're on fire, and they would. I'm just like, how you live your day to day life? Like my biggest question also is like, what y'all talk about all day?
Right. People make it seem like you can only talk about God all the time. Right. I was like,
I love the Lord. I love Jesus, but like. Look, I'm about to talk about this drama that was on with these celebrities this week, okay?
Okay, they'd be like, don't gossip. Okay, but I'm a Gemini. You gotta sell that to somebody else because I'm a Gemini. I can't do that. Like, that was a big thing for me, too. I was like, dang, I can't listen to music. I can't talk about anything that doesn't have to do with God. I can't do, like, I was like, dang. Right.
I was convinced I couldn't even go to, like, Six Flags. I was like, that's having fun. You can't do that.
It was big. I remember when I really liked One Direction, and I felt like I was a sinner because I liked One Direction.
You cannot serve oh my God and One Direction.
And One Direction. You cannot have two gods at once. You cannot have any idols. I said, One Direction is an idol. Harry Styles. And then I met kids who like grew up in the church and listened to secular music, and I was like, wait a second, what? You did what now?
I can't tell you like one of the first songs, like my aunt, she's really big on like rap music. Mm-hmm.
And you know, she's a Christian too, but she loves rap music. I remember we were growing up listening like to Gucci Mane, and I grew up like now I'm just like, to me, I'm like, those songs are so inappropriate. But as a sixth grader, I was like, well, my name is Susie. Don't you think I love them? Like, just rapping these songs that I had no business rapping. And then going to church, I'm like, oh, my God.
I know. They'd be like, you in the club on Saturday and you in church on Sunday. You'd be like, ah, you like 11. You're like, I was in the club.
You watch one Disney Channel movie, you're like, that was the club.
That was a club. That was my 11-year-old club. No, but for real. I literally, like, I tell people this all the time, but I was not allowed to listen to things that were not gospel until I was, like, 12. And I still wasn't allowed to when I was 12, but I got an iPod when I was 12. So I did anyways. But it was hard. People be like, you know that song?
There are some songs I'll tell, like, Alyssa, that I feel like I knew, like, I grew up on secular music. My parents didn't necessarily care, like, my mom or my dad or my grandparents even, like, they listened to, like, a lot of, like, old school, like, R&B and stuff, and it was just, like, it was, like, a mix. We honestly, we only listened to gospel when we was cleaning on Saturday, and
okay. It was everything for us, but I still had that experience where Saturday cleaning was Fred Hammond.
Right, right. Or they were playing in the morning before we go to school to try to seem righteous. I'm like, y'all ain't even listening to this. But there's songs I'd be like, Alyssa, you heard this song even like today. She'd be like, no. And I'm like, but it was in our childhood. She'd be like, yours. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, no, I was listening to a lot of Kirk Franklin. I was listening to CeCe Winans. I was listening to Martha Menenzi, Fred Hammond, Darnie McClurkin. A lot of that, like, that's all I listen to, really. Nothing.
Don't discount Hillsong Fire. Is that what they call it? Hillsong United?
Hillsong United, yeah. I listened to The Fish, so I listened to Hillsong United too. But back in the day, I was like, Hosanna.
Spirit lead me where my trust is without borders.
Okay, that's a bop. Hillsong is.
I'm about to start crying right now. That's a bop.
This song as a church really sucks, but whoever's writing their songs is
popping up bangers. Yep, watch it be like an R&B artist.
I know. It's like her. Right, now she's the ghostwriter for Hillsong United. Oh, man. Anyways. Yeah, I feel like, honestly, we should have another conversation about this, because there's so much stuff that it just has happened in my life that has to do with Christianity, that, like, because it was such a defining thing for me for so long, and it still is, you know. When people ask, like a lot of times when I'm doing things or like working hard, doing whatever, I'm like, yeah, I do this because I believe in God and I believe that I should, you know.
Yeah,
like, you know, so it's still like very much a part of me and stuff, that I treat people with kindness. Oh, Harry Styles. An idol. Oh my God. I'm going to hell.
Level two. You've made it.
Yeah, I worship Harry Styles. Sorry, I have Fine Line like hung up on my wall. I guess I'm going to hell. Anyways, yeah, I just it was just hard, you know? Like, I don't think we really like touched on how hard it is to grow up Christian, to like doubt yourself all the time.
Yeah.
But also this episode is getting long, so it's hard to like put everything in there, to even talk about, like, you know, the feelings that you felt when, you know, certain things would happen. You would like, oh dang, am I a bad Christian?
Yeah,
because I don't believe, you know. I don't know, it's just hard. It's really hard.
Yeah, like you said, I feel like you were going down a great route. Like, we have to talk about this again, because honestly, every conversation we have about religion is always different, which I don't understand how, because we have a conversation about religion at least once every 2 weeks.
Right, right. And we're always like, David is gay.
That's the one thing that stands strong.
Somehow David always comes up and he's always gay. Yeah, we should talk about it again sometime. Just to kind of touch on the... I mean, it'll still be about deconstruction, but it'll be a different conversation completely about, you know, how, like, I feel like we didn't really touch on how it felt like I said before, because it feels horrible. It feels isolating. It feels like for so long, I didn't realize that a lot of my friends were deconstructing or that they had deconstructed. And like until you start talking about it and they're like, oh, yeah, I believe that, too, or whatever.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard to talk about. You're like, oh, my God, I don't believe that being gay is a sin, but I can't say that.
Right.
You know, it's so hard. So I don't know. We'll definitely have to, you know, have another conversation about religion sometime. Just because we talk about it so much that there's just I don't know. The topic is our oyster.
Honestly. And I just feel like, I don't know, me being like you said, 19-year-old me, like that's where I started the whole deconstruction journey. Like it might have been like a little bit into 18, but whatever sophomore year of college was, that was just deconstructing my entire life. Not even religion, the entire.
My entire being.
Right. My entire being. Like I could have got plastic surgery that year. I don't even know who I am. Like
I'm not the same.
Right, not the same in any way, shape, or form. But I think, like, you know, I think a conversation like this is important because I feel like a lot of people do it, and I feel like in all religions, because I've talked to a few friends, they go through this whole deconstructing, like, viewpoint and getting away from what their parents taught and getting away or, like, seeing what society is, like, in its reality, and then coming back and, like, how do I exist in this space with this identity? Right. And like you say, some people choose to stay with it. Some people choose to go away from it. Some people choose to pick and choose like what they believe out of it. And some people just like, actually, I like what my parents said. I'm going to believe what they believed.
Right.
And any route that you choose is absolutely okay. It's just the journey of getting there, like you said, is extremely hard. Mm-hmm. And it's extremely overwhelming is really what it is.
Yeah, it is.
And it's okay. We all have gone through it. We all will go through it if you grew up in the certain way that we have. Of course, our view is only particularly like from a Christian view. And so that's the only way we know because that's the only thing we've learned. But if you have any questions, just let us know because we are here to help. It is a very difficult process. And like Alyssa said, it is isolating. And you think that you're the only one going through it until you like reach out and talk to someone. I think Alyssa was the first person I think I ever reached out and talked to about it, which I don't know how we even got on that topic.
Me neither.
I have no idea.
I've been trying to think about it this whole time, and I'm like, I don't know.
I love it. First of all, we talk too damn much, but
okay.
But that specific alone, I don't know how. Normally, I know where most of our conversations come from, but. This one I didn't.
We probably started with like gospel music, and we just got on.
It's like, do you know this song?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think gay is a sin?
Do you like Fred Hammond? Do you think trans people are going to hell? No. Okay, me neither.
That's honestly probably how the logic of conversation went. But I don't know. I just again, if you guys need help, like. I understand, like, and especially like in a time like Easter, it's coming up, or it's already passed, or I don't know when we're releasing this episode. I've had one too many beers. By one too many, I've only had two.
It'll be coming up when we post this. It'll be coming up.
And for Christians, like, I understand that this is a hard time, especially if you're deconstructing. Yeah. I didn't go to church while I was deconstructing, like at all. I missed so many Easter services, and I'm gonna be honest, I still miss Easter services, and I've completely. I'm like, ooh, you resurrected today. Have a good day, Jesus. And I go on about my day.
Yeah, no, on the other end, I went to church the whole time. And I was miserable for a lot of it. I was still, like, trying to, like, fit in and, like, mm-hmm. be there and be present while I was also deconstructing. So I was like, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I don't agree. And I was like, how am I still going to church? Like, it didn't make sense to me.
I can tell you where I was every Sunday because the entire time I was at University of North Georgia, I was deconstructing. And I was at Chow Hall eating omelets. So shout out to the workers out there.
There you goes your shout out.
There goes my shout out.
Oh, I got it. Lizzo. Lizzo and religion. You know, honestly, you could build a whole religion off of just Lizzo playing the flute.
It is comforting.
Who would like to join? That is an idol. I'm going to the third level of hell. I got another idol.
Welcome. We've been expecting you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No, yeah, I don't really know how to tie Lizzo into this episode besides to say that I'm in love with her and I will be in love with her until the day that I die. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Open speech to the third level of hell.
Yeah, I started this podcast on the first level and now I'm on the third, and that's okay. My friends are here.
Hey.
Hey girl, what's up?
But I know we're joking about this, but this is a very serious topic. So if you have any questions for us, even if we can't answer the question, I know that there's a lot of resources that we both can provide that can help you in your journey as well, no matter where that leads or anything. And if you just, you know, want to talk about certain things, this is a safe space. Of course, we're just talking about like our experiences and what that looks like for us. But we'll have many topics. We have so much to say about just not even like Christianity, but the topic of religion alone.
Yeah.
And this episode, we just kind of want to talk about like our journey with it and how we've felt about it. And so if you too have had the same journey, or, you know, or questioning your journey, or something in this podcast has made you think like, huh, maybe I should look into that. like, let us know. Or if it hasn't made you question anything, if it only made your faith stronger too, let us know. I think that those are important conversations to have. Especially this day and age when there's just so much out there. I think those are important conversations to have. But unless you have anything else to say, like we can conclude the episode.
I just want to say that if any of my family is listening, do not call me. Do not text me.
Already blocked.
You're not blocked, but I will not be answering. If you have any questions about this episode, you can direct them to the Instagram if you would like, but I'm not answering them. Okay. If you want to have a cordial conversation, we can do that. Right. But if you're just gonna like antagonize me, then we're not gonna talk. Right. And I'm keeping that in the episode, okay? I really need them to know. They might find this someday and be like, I listened to episode 9 of your podcast and I heard that you're deconstructing, you don't think gay people are going to hell. I heard that you don't even believe in hell at all, and they'll be texting my phone and they're green messages. First of all, why are your messages green? Fix that Before you talk to me, get blue messages, okay? Anyways, that's all I wanted to say. We can definitely end this episode. It's the longest one that we have, which makes sense because this is our most expensive topic. Right. David is gay.
Right. As long as that is out there in the world, I'm good. We could have said, hello, welcome to the new adult playbook, David is gay. And our episode.
That concludes our episode. Thank you for listening. David is gay. Anyways, yeah, thank you guys for listening. I know this one was long. Let us know if you like the longer episodes, because I kind of like them when they're a little longer. But follow us on Instagram at New Adult Playbook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, New Adult Playbook. Yeah, that's all we have. Next week, maybe we'll talk about religion again. Maybe we won't. I'm not really sure. We'll see.
No, next week you're coming.
Oh, yeah. Next week we'll be in person. We'll be recording in person. Oh, man. That's so awesome. I'm really excited.
Next week is going to be so much fun. Y'all. I don't even know what that podcast is going to be about. It's probably just going to be like hanging out with your friends.
Yeah. Having a good time with your buddies.
Right, right. And stuff. Something way easier to digest than this religion talk.
Yeah. Definitely. So we'll see you next week. We'll figure out what we're talking about and you will listen to it. So. All right. So I've been Alyssa and I'm here with Micaiah and we're gonna head out. Peace out, y'all.
Peace out. Bye.
Bye.